A reading from chapter 2 of Glories of the Holy Name. And this last time we met, 2 days ago, we described how this Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he's revealing that the Holy Name is actually a Siddha mantra. Which is a very interesting point. Because oftentimes people say, oh, in ISKCON no one can realize their Siddha Deha. In ISKCON no one gives Siddha Pranali. Because Siddha Pranali, Pranali means a process to realize the Siddha Deha. Pranali means process. So they criticize ISKCON and say, we have it, they don't. If you want it, you have to get it from us. Maybe you've heard. But it's not quite correct. It's correct in one way, that they have a practice of giving this Siddha Pranali. But ultimately, unless one is pure, whatever he's given, he won't realize it. Just like, for example, if someone is given some very valuable object, if he doesn't have knowledge about that object and doesn't know very much about it, then he won't be able to really appreciate the value of that object. So we have the Siddha Mantra. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj said this Maha Mantra is a Siddha Mantra. Siddha means perfection. And it is a sound vibration mantra that will give us all Siddha, or Siddhi. So in our case, Siddhi means Prema. That's the first thing, Bhava and Prema. That's the perfection of sadhana. Sadhana leads to a perfect point. It's called sadhya. So that's the siddhi, or the sadhana siddhi. We have even, there's a term, I remember there was one disciple, my friend was named sadhana siddhi. Sadhana, or sadhan. Sadhan siddhi means the perfection of sadhana, which is what? Sadhana. Vaidhi sadhana, if you perfect your vaidhi sadhana, then it should bring you to rag. And rag sadhana, if it's properly performed, should bring you to bhava bhakti. Then sadhana is not sadhana anymore, it's actual bhakti. The word sadhana is not included there, because then it becomes sarup, sarup siddha. It's actually being accepted directly by the Lord, our hearing and chanting, because it's qualified with bhava. Then bhava bhakti, then prema bhakti. They're not called bhava sadhana. It's not sadhana anymore. Because sadhana is what we do in this material body. And bhakti is what we do in the spiritual body. Because bhakti is transcendental. So bhakti really begins at the level of bhava. Because at the level of bhava we get our siddha deha. So this mantra that we've been given, or been received, we've not only, what we're given when we're given the mantra is we're given the knowledge behind it. We're given the knowledge behind it, which means we're taught properly how to chant. We're taught properly how to chant the Maha Mantra. And there's a krama, there's a sequence of chanting. There's a way to chant, there's a way not to chant. There are yamas and niyamas, do's and don'ts. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will encourage everyone, so there's no hard and fast rules. So this is referring to the sense that because it's bhakti, bhakti is transcendental to varnashram dharma. In varna dharma or ashram dharma, there's so many rules and stipulations regarding desha, kala and patra, and dravya. Dravya means the objects must be very pure. And if there's any contamination in dravya, then all your execution of home or yagya will be faulty and ineffective. So this is why it says there's, what is it? Second verse of Shikshasakam. Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarvashak tatrapita niyamata niyamata. You don't have to remember or think of so many yamas and niyamas, do's and don'ts. What time is it? Is it the right time to do a yagya or not? Is it the right muhurta to chant Hare Krishna? No, you don't have to worry about time, place, and dravya. Am I clean? Oh, I should take a bath before I chant. Unnecessary. mantra itself is an oshadhi. I mean, a snan, excuse me. It's an oshadhi also. But in this regard, mantra is also called snan. There's a type of snan called mantra snan. Divya snan. Divya snan is to bathe outside when the sun is shining and it's raining. It's called divya snan, deva snan. I say it divya, but it's not really transcendental. But divya meaning the celestial beings. That when the sun is shining and it's raining, falling, they say that demigod, jivas that were formerly demigods, are coming to the earth and taking birth, or entering the earth, becoming grass, and they'll be eaten by cows, and the cow's milk will be drunk by Brahmins, and the Brahmins will produce semen from that milk and from that grass, and then they'll inseminate their wife and produce a child, which may be a devata. It's like this. So this is called divya snan. Divya snan, to take bath. So, but of all these snans, and there's samudra snan, to bathe in the ocean, and there's kua snan, to bathe in the well, different types of snan. But the best snan of all, the most purifying pavitram, is mantra snan. This is very interesting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Everything's clean. Very fast bath. Water, very water conscious, conscientious, very ecological. Water saving, save water. Many countries, they have signs on the highways, save water, conserve water. There's not much of it. So this mantra that we've been given, Maha Mantra, it is Siddha. The mantra is Siddha, and we're Asiddha. We're not perfect. But by associating with this mantra, by chanting this mantra, we will become perfect. The imperfect becomes perfect. And we already see how that by associating with this mantra, we become closer to perfection. What we were before we met this mantra, before we chanted this mantra, is not the same that we are now. One type of perfection is to retire from the mode of ignorance and to live in the mode of passion. That's a type of perfection. Another type of perfection is to retire from the mode of passion and live in the mode of goodness. Another type of perfection is to stop sinful activity and to live according to Shastra. It's also, we say, you can perfect your life by following Shastras. So these points are extremely important, especially nowadays. Because when you meet various other devotees, then they'll say, oh, you can't get anything in ISKCON. You don't have anything in ISKCON. Then you say, well, what about the Maha Mantra? Oh, the Maha Mantra is not enough. What is the defect in the Maha Mantra? Can you please explain to me, my dear friend? What is the defect? What is the limit in the Maha Mantra? What do you see as a defect? Do you see some defect in the Maha Mantra? You see some imperfection there, some incompleteness in the Maha Mantra? And then they'll say, well, what can you say? Because it's Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto. It's complete. Purna Shuddho. It's completely pure. It's Swarup Shakti. It's Radhan Krishna. Then you can even have some dialogue. Is the Maha Mantra material? So you play the antagonist. You understand what that means. Is the Maha Mantra material?
No.
Is the Maha Mantra completely spiritual?
Yes.
Does the Maha Mantra have all the power of Radha and Krishna?
Yes.
Is the Maha Mantra Sarva Shakti Mayi, just like Krishna?
Yes.
Is there any difference between Krishna and the Maha Mantra?
No.
Is there any difference between Radharani and the Maha Mantra?
No.
So if you chant the Maha Mantra, is it possible you can get anything and everything that you want?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because not.
Huh?
It's Krishna
and Radha. Hare. It's a Yuga mantra, Radha Krishna Yuga mantra. So therefore, we're just reviewing the class of the other day. When Gaura Kishore was saying it's a Siddha mantra, that means it's Siddha. As perfect as Krishna is, and generally Krishna is accepted as the most perfect person. He's God. As perfect as Krishna is, the Maha Mantra is perfect. So this is important. Very important, especially in these days, because people don't have so much faith. Because the problem is that we're chanting the holy name, this Siddha mantra, but we're not even aware of the perfections that have been given to us already. Because we know, when we discuss transcendence, that perfection has a hierarchy. In the material world, perfection doesn't have a hierarchy. But in the spiritual world, perfection has a hierarchy. There are gradations. There's Purna, Purnatara, and Purnatam. So this is inconceivable, because in the material world there's only Purna, it's complete. Om Purnam Purnamidam Idam. But when we read Nectar Devotion and various other scriptures, we'll see that this concept of Purna, or complete, Krishna's Leela in Dwarka is called Purna, Purna Leela. And the Bhagavan, the Devaki Nandan, or whatever, excuse me, Dwarkanath, or Dwarkadish, the form of Godhead that's revealed there, sometimes two arms, sometimes four arms, some Madhurya, lots of Aishwarya. That form that's revealed there is called Purna Bhagavan. But in Mathura, where Krishna's Devaki Nandan, or Vasudev Nandan, then in that place, Krishna is known as Purnatara. Purnatara. More complete. Purnatara means more complete. And in Braj, Krishna is known as Purnatam Bhagavan. Purnatam, Utam Purna. Complete, most complete. So most complete is in Braj. So therefore, this Maha Mantra is a Siddha Mantra. So when we're experiencing, our experience of Siddha, or perfection, or completeness, it's also in a hierarchy. How much we experience the Siddha nature of this mantra, it's also in a hierarchy. So each, in our own experience and association of chanting the Maha Mantra, we've all experienced our own gradations of perfection. Because as we mentioned earlier, if you compare what we are now to what we were before, then we must say that we're a more perfect person now than we were before. If you define persona or personality as the spiritual identity, our awareness and conception of God and our own spiritual identity is more perfect now than it was when we were 10 years old, or 15, or 20. And so as we progress in bhakti, we're going closer and closer to more and more perfections. I mean, the ultimate perfection is to realize your siddha deha. But before we realize siddha deha, there's siddha achar. Right? There's pure action. There's perfect movements. And there's siddha thinking, or whatever you say, siddha vichara, pure thinking, perfect thinking. And then there's pure seva. There's so many levels of seva, and it comes to perfect seva. And then it comes to actual feelings for the Lord, which begin at the level of ruchi, then it goes to asakti, then bhava. And then the bhava gets deeper and deeper, becomes more and more perfect. And even that keeps going. So then, when that bhava becomes perfect, then that siddha mantra, which has given us all these perfections in a great graded way, or a gradation, or a hierarchy, then that siddha mantra reveals after revealing and establishing the siddha bhav, replacing kam bhav and desire to enjoy with siddha bhav, or pure spiritual bhav, then you get the proper deha. It's called siddha deha. Means body, perfect body. But it doesn't stop there. The perfection keeps growing and keeps going. Because even if we come to a level, if chanting Shuddha Nam brings us to Siddha Deha, Siddha Bhav and Siddha Deha, and to the threshold of Prema, that's only the beginning. Because Prema has also gradations. Sneha, Man, Pranaya, Rag, Anurag, Bhav, Mahabhav. And then there's Divyonmad, Anubhav, there's Madan, Mohan, Madanakya, Mohanakya, Mahabhav. I mean, Mahabhav has divisions. So the course of perfection carries on in this world, all the way to Siddha Deha, or Surup Siddhi. And then when we enter Bhoma Vrindavan, the course of perfection continues. You have to become more perfect because you have to, in association with the Nitya Parishads of the Lord, Lita Vishaka, Rupan Rati, and Guru Sakhi Parampara, and Param Guru Sakhi, Paratara Guru Sakhi, and Guru Sakhi. Then there's further training and further perfection of Prem, because Prem has higher levels of perfection, Sneha, Man, Pranaya, which cannot be experienced in Swarup Siddhi, in this material body. So you can understand from this description how far this conception of Siddha goes. So so therefore, when our Param Gurudev, Gaurakishoradas, or no, what is it? He's our Paratara, Paratara Gurudev, Gaurakishoradas Babaji Maharaj, he says that the Maha Mantra is a Siddha Mantra. It's a very deep statement. When a very deep devotee makes a statement, a deep statement, it's very deep. And how deep we are, or how deep we can dive, is how much we can perceive or understand of the teachings of Mahajans and Shastra, which are the same thing. Shastras are full of the teachings of Mahajans. So all of this is being said to increase our what?
Faith.
Ado Shraddha Tata Saru Sangha Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya is based on Saru Sangha and faith. This is Bhajana Kriya. No Saru Sangha, Bhajan weak. No faith, Bhajan weak. More Saru Sangha, more Shraddha, then Bhajan strong. Bhajan Prabhav, Bhajan Shakti. So this section of chapter 2. It's simply, there's many verses, about 40 verses, but we've collected about 6 or 7 to mention in class, which I think is a conclusion of this chapter, which are verses which glorify the Holy Name from different levels of chanters. This is from Ujjala Nilamani. This is about the chanting up there. The chanting by the siddhas, by the parishads of the Lord. Vishakha is telling, Vishakha met with Krishna. And then Krishna said, what's the news? Kya samachar? What's Radharani doing? And what's she doing? Why? They speak Hindi over there. So then then Vishakha, because Krishna indicated how it's, Krishna only has one question on his mind. Where is Radharani, or how is Radharani? It's basically Radharani, ? Then his eyes can convey, how is she, where is she, what is she, when will I meet her? But Krishna has one question, Radharani, ? There's no other question. And Radharani has one question. Krishna, ? But if we look at ourselves, we are very questionable. We are very questionable. We have many, many questions. So this is one time we were mentioning that actually we should come to a point where the only questions we should not... What was it? Two questions. We should only have two questions. A sadhaka should only have two questions on his mind. Of course, if you take it into Gaura Leela, then it becomes four questions. But it's actually one Leela, so even it's all right with two questions. The two questions are, where are Radha Govinda right now? And what are they doing? And then, of course, the third question is implied in the first two. What is my seva at this time to them? Sometimes I try to encourage my students that eliminate all their questions with these three. And then you know that your bhajan is really at a high level. But usually we ask questions like, what's for breakfast? Breakfast was good, what's for lunch? Or, oh, I made this for Thakurji, quote-unquote Thakurji. That's another name for myself, but... I made this for Thakurji. For Thakurji's breakfast. Remember, Thakurji, not me. He's the first enjoyer. I'm a close second. It was just neck and neck down the run, down the race, and he won by a neck. You know, he won. So Thakurji, he's the first enjoyer, but right behind him, I'm right there enjoying secondarily in his footsteps, and very fastly in his footsteps. Hardly I give him a chance to enjoy. Ding, ding, ding. Okay, that's good. Ding. So Vishakha said, "Oh Krishna, when the sound of half your name, Krish, enters the ears of lotus-eyed Radharani, tears at once stream from her eyes, washing her limbs." So if that happens with one syllable of Krishna's name, imagine how many syllables there are when you chant 16 rounds. And if so many tears come from one syllable to bathe Radharani's limbs and wash her body with premashru, then so many Krishna, Krishna, Krishna we're chanting every morning, we should flood the whole Brajmandal with water. But again, no one will really appreciate that inundation of water from our eyes, because it will simply add to the already existing salt water. This is a defect. There's already plenty of salt water in Braj, so even if we inundate it and flooded Braj with the tears of praying from chanting Krish, 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 no one would appreciate it. Hey, I'm right, Baba, but already there's so much salt water in the ground and your tears are nothing but salty, as you know. So we'd have to do something special to be appreciated. We'd have to chant freshwater tears. Leave the salt. Krishna said, "Subal, Radhika is so full of the sweetest affection that she is like a murti made of nectar." Amrita murti. Radhika possesses very deep transcendental qualities, and she has melted like butter in the fire of eagerness for me. As soon as Radha's name enters my ears, I immediately swoon with rapture, experience incomparable bliss, and completely forget the world. Wish that would happen to me. As soon as I say Hare, Hare is Radhe. Imagine we wouldn't get much japa done that way. It sounds like there's hope if we can completely forget the world, which is one third of the program here. Maybe if we keep chanting, then we'll experience incomparable bliss. And we will swoon with rapture. This means ras, or ecstatic ras. But what I was saying is that if this was our experience, then as soon as we begin chanting, we would be finished. Because the first word we say when we chant is what? Does anyone know the Maha Mantra?
Hare.
What is the first word we say?
Hare.
Hare. So what's happening? When Krishna hears Hare, then he swoons with rapture, experiences incomparable bliss, and completely forgets the world. So if you swoon with rapture, swooning means you faint. So then, so much for your japa. And then you meet your Gurudev that day. It's something like when Siddha Krishnadas met one of his disciples, and he asked him, "So how was your bhajan?" Because in his disciples, they were following very high and difficult path of bhajan, which is based on Lila Smaranam, because they're very qualified and pure-minded people. And we can try, and we should try, but it's not so easy. But they were following the path of chanting Maha Mantra and absorbing themselves in Lila Smaran and Manasi Seva following the progress of, or the sequence of Astakali Lila. And he was their tutor. He was their Shiksha Guru for many, many stalwart Bhajanandis of Brajmandal, Siddha Krishnadas of Govardhan. So he met one follower, one student, Bhajan student, at the end of the day. And he said, "So how was your Smaran Bhajan, Smarana Bhajan?" And the student was very unhappy. He was very, very sad. He felt very dejected and very, very much that he didn't carry out the order of his guru. Because the guru said you should follow the progress of the Leela throughout the day. Nishant Leela and Purvan Leela, Madhyan Leela, enter the pastimes and do seva there. He said, Guruji, I couldn't follow your order to meditate on Astakali Lila. I got stuck. I entered the Nishant. I started meditating on Nishant Lila, and in this Nishant Lila, my Guru Sakhi, he sent me into the Kunj to find some pearls that broke from Radharani's necklace during her love sports the previous night with Shamsundar. So I entered that Kunj, and then I spent my whole day chanting the mantra, because when I entered that Kunj, I smelled the fragrance of Radharani because she had just left. And I was so enraptured by the fragrance of her body, and I just spent all day looking for those pearls. And my mind never left from there. And then Siddha Krishnadas, he embraced him and said, yes! You attained Bhajan Siddhi. This is Bhajan Siddhi. This is perfection, that you became completely absorbed in the Leela, and just all day went by. You completely forgot, as it says here, completely forgot the whole world. External world, even the spiritual world, you absorb yourself in that one moment, in that one experience of Swamini. So this would happen to us if we meet our Guru and say, Gurudev, I couldn't chant my 1 lakh of rounds today. When I started chanting, I said, Hare. So I picked up my beads, I said, Hare. And then I became, as it says here, I swooned with rapture, which means I fainted, and I experienced incomparable bliss, and I completely forgot the world, and I forgot my japa, and I forgot everything, because I emerged in the pastimes at that moment when I fainted. And Gurudev would embrace me and say, very, very good. Then a disciple goes and says, hey, Prabhu, I only chanted one syllable, one word of the Maha Mantra, and Gurudev praised me. And he embraced me, and everyone said, oh really, okay, let's slow down our chanting. No, it's not like this. So now there's just one other point here. This is from Padyavali by Rupa Goswami. This is someone, also some sakhi, a meeting with Madhav. The gentle breeze blowing from the place where you stay makes the hairs of Radhika's body stand up. It was very similar to the Radharas Sudaniti, where describing what happens to Krishna when he experiences the breeze blowing from Radharani's body. So apparently it's a mutual experience of ecstatic transformation. So Padyavali, which is a collection of shlokas by great devotees, is collected by Rupa Goswami. And of course he also has his own shlokas there. And some of them are even unknown. It's anonymous authors, most beautiful shlokas, some of the most beautiful shlokas, glorifying Krishna and Radharani in different aspects of devotion, assembled in Padyavali. And there it's a beautiful shloka that Rupa Goswami has collected from here or there or somewhere. And there's no author's name. It's anonymous. The gentle breeze blowing from the place where you stay makes the hairs of Radhika's body stand up. She satisfies her eyes. Radhika satisfies her eyes by. She satisfies her eyes by showing them, which means her eyes, the beautiful picture of your transcendental form. Probably could be translated differently, but in other words, Radharani is in separation from Krishna, but not very far, within fragrance range, whatever that is. I don't know how far fragrance range is. It could be 40 kilometers, or I don't know. Yoga Maya can do anything. Yeah, it's a fact, because we find that even sadhakas in this world, they enter the Leela privation, their meditation, and they come back smelling like the spiritual world. Their clothes are fragrant with the perfumes of the spiritual world. So, fragrance of the spiritual world, and that's in that particular anecdote, It indicates that the fragrance of the spiritual world can extend a great distance all the way from the spiritual world to the material world, or at least to Bhauma Vrindavan, which is not really the material world. But such things have happened and been recorded. Biography of Srinivasacharya, or not the biography, yeah, the biography of Srinivasacharya, they describe his bhajan experiences. Here in this world, he would enter that world and come back with colors. He would meditate on holy. Madhyan Leela, Radhakund, and Ranakrishna and the gopis are playing holy, and he's filling the pitchkaris and providing liquid and giving colors and kunkum and gulal. And then he wakes up from his meditation and his vesh is all covered with colors and smelling so fragrant, because what they throw up there is not a bunch of chemical powders or rock dyes or something, but they throw chandan and gulal and kasturi and all kinds of beautiful fragrant rose petals, rose water, and beautiful things. So he's smelling wonderfully, and the whole ashram became pervaded with that fragrance. Then the disciples say, wow, what's going on? Some demigod has come here, or some celestial being, because their bodies smell like lotus flowers, and they emanate incredible fragrance. So they thought that some divine being has entered their ashram. So they followed the fragrance, and they went right to Srinivasa's kunj, Srinivasa's kutir. And then they found him, and he's trying to, whoops, I gotta hide myself here somehow. He's covered with colors. That's an extraordinary phenomenon. So Radharani's in separation from Krishna, and she smells his fragrance. And then to soothe her feelings of pangs of separation, then she holds a picture of Krishna before her eyes. Chitrasakhi has painted that picture, by chance, maybe Vishakhasakhi, or maybe some Russian Mundri. Some of these Russians are pretty good artists, so maybe this is their Nitya Seva. So they're painting Radha and Krishna here, and if they really want that and desire that, they may become Chitrawalis in the spiritual world. And they'll be painting Radha and Krishna up there, painting pictures of Krishna. It's a nice meditation for the artist. And they're really kind of a gifted bunch in one sense. You would think so, that they would be really Krishna conscious by their profession. So she sees this beautiful picture. Radha's ears are sprinkled with the nectar of your name. It means the Sakis, understanding Radharani's condition, they immediately start chanting Krishna Kirtan. Radha's words are filled with songs in the fifth rag. Day and night, this slender girl stands by the window, overlooking the path where you might return. I would assume, from the nature of this verse, there's a section of Padyavali. My Rupa Goswami describes a bunch of verses and describe how the gopis, and especially Radharani, are thinking and feeling, even Mother Yashoda, after Krishna went to Mathura and deep Viraha. There's a whole section called Viraha Prem in Padyavali. So this verse appears to be that situation. But it can also be just that Krishna's gone out for Gocharan. That's also a type of Viraha, Pravas. Pravas is one of the moods of separation, love and separation, pravas. What is it? There's Purvarag, and then there's Man, Prema Vaichitya, and Pravas. Pravas can mean a great distant place, or it can mean just going from Nandagram to Kamyavan, or to Govardhan. That can also be a distant place. But Pravas, because Pravas means, Vas means living beyond where I am. So it could be she's waiting for Krishna to come back on the path from Govardhan. But I can't really be sure. But. Verses in praise of the holy name. When the Shastras describe the glories of the holy name, there is no exaggeration, because they are not referring to the material sound, but to the spiritual sound that appears through the material sound by a qualified person at the time of chanting. Shastras are not referring to the material sound composed of the various letters and syllables. Simply reciting the external syllables of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. It's not the actual name. Reading, meditating on, and memorizing a few of the following verses will increase one's appreciation and attachment for chanting Krishna's holy name. Because as everyone knows, it's quite easy to train a parrot to chant Hare Krishna, or a minor bird, because it's a pretty simple mantra. So they can chant that mantra, but they won't be, nothing much will happen. Hare Krishna. Because it's material, it's mechanical, only the sound is there, sound vibration. There's no backing, there's no understanding, there's no knowledge, there's no proper practice, there's no sambandha gyan. So that's what separates our chanting from the parrot's chanting, is all the backing, all the support, and all the blessings that we're getting from Guru and Mahants, and all the ras that we've collected. Whatever nam ras or bhakti ras we've collected in our storehouse or in our chitta by associating with nam sadakas and hearing them chant, hearing our own Gurudev chant Maha Mantra or in Kirtan, that is full of ras. So we've collected some of that. We have the ability to collect some of that and store it in our consciousness and mix that again. And it's like spices on a spice rack. And you're making a khichdi and put some of this inside. So when you're chanting Hare Krishna, you can add these spices, these different experiences that are registered in the chitta. Hearing, because it has effect when a human being, he can record and recall what he's heard and what he's experienced when he's chanting japa. So this is why we hear these verses. And we already spoke that one about Tasya Krishna Namadi, Namavet Grahamindre. So this is a verse from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Vachitrilila rasasagarasya Prabhur Vichitrat Spuritat Prasadat Vichitra Sankirtana Madhurisa Natu Siddhyatnad Iti Saru Siddhyet. Only by the wonderful mercy of the Lord, who is a nectar ocean of beautiful pastimes, Vichitra Lila Rasa Sagar. Interesting. Vichitra. Vichitra means variegated. Vichitra. And chitra itself. Chitra means variegated. Variety. Yeah, well, that's what variegated means. Right? So vichitra means exceptionally, vishesh, exceptionally variegated lila. And it's an ocean, which is full of a ocean of ras. It says here, a nectar ocean of beautiful pastimes. Only by the wonderful mercy of the Lord, who is a nectar ocean of beautiful pastimes, because chitra also means beautiful, is the charming sweetness of chanting the holy name manifest. It does not appear by one's own effort. Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Part 2, Chapter 3, Verse 168. So this is, in other words, we keep chanting and pray for that mercy of the Lord. And his devotees also. Prabhur vichitrat spuritat prasadat. Prabhu prasad. Then this wonderful spurti will happen. This most variegated and wonderful spurti. We'll have this vision how the holy name is Rasa Sagar, Vichitra Lila. Vichitra Sankrit is really like this word Vichitra here. Vichitra Lila, Vichitra Spurti. Vichitra Sankirtan, Madhuri Sa. Na tu siat yatnat iti sadhu sat siddhyet. It does not appear by one's own efforts. Okay, then why chant? It doesn't appear, but it does and it doesn't. It doesn't appear by one's efforts means that our chanting can't make it happen. But if we don't chant, it'll never happen. It's an interesting point. Generally, it'll never happen. Krishna is free to give mercy to anyone even one never does any sadhana, he can also get the mercy, become perfect by Lord's will. The general line of action is that one attempts, he practices sadhana, engages in sadhana, and that's why we sing so many bhajans. Many of the bhajans are praying for mercy. Oh Vaishnava Thakur. We're praying to Vaishnavas, and we're praying to Rupa Manjari and Rupa Goswami. We're begging for mercy from Mahajans, Acharyas, that because they're close to the Lord, the Vaishnavas are close to the Lord. It's a little hard to touch Krishna because he even says that mercy is not with me. Can't get any mercy over here. Don't even try. If you want to get mercy, you better go over here. Kripa Shakti Murti. Kripa Shakti Murti. The form of Kripa or mercy is the devotees, the gurus, the Mahajans. Put your petition there. Oh, hey, Vaishnava Thakur. Now you're the ocean of mercy. So can I have one drop? Can you splash me a little bit with a drop or two? This black boy, I'm not going to bother him. He's wrapped up in his own lila, his vichitra lila. So this is the point that this is a very beautiful verse, a very, very beautiful verse, how this, by the wonderful mercy of the Lord, that nectar ocean of beautiful pastimes, vichitra lila rasa sagara. So now there's another verse. I'm just picking out a few. There's about 40 verses here, if you really want to get into it. This is from Hari Bhakti Vilas. This is the 11th Vilas, verse 412 and 413. This, incidentally, this book is in English. It's quite an interesting book. It's a very, very interesting thing. So this is one, I can't remember who's speaking of it. It's of course a quotation from one Purana that Sanatana Goswami has included here. Nadesha niyamo rajan nakala niyamastata vidite natra sandeho Vishnur namanu kirtane kalosti dhana yagye cha snane kalosti sajjape Vishnu sankirtane kalo nasyatra pritivitale. Anyone know this verse? It's very nice. It says, O King, there are no rules whatsoever governing the time and place. So it says Desh and Kal, wherein the holy name of Vishnu can be chanted. So it doesn't say there's no rules at all, but there's no rules about. Of this there can be no doubt. Charity and sacrifice are governed by various rules regarding time and place, as are the taking of one's bath and the silent uttering of different mantras. But the holy name of Vishnu can be chanted at any time and place on earth. Well, that's certainly a great boon for all of us, especially when we're sick. We can lie in bed and chant Hare Krishna. Right? Or even you're tired, you can lie down and chant Hare Krishna. Stand on your head, chant Hare Krishna. It's really the ideal mantra for the lazy fellows. Lazy fellows of Kali Yuga. Because we ladies and gents, we certainly meet the criterion of Kali Yugites. We are really lazy. It takes everything we can do. It takes all the energy we can muster just to get out of bed. There's another verse here. This is from Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 7, verse 74. Namavina kale kale nahi aradham dharam sarvamantra saranam e shastra maram. Mahaprabhu said, in Kali Yuga there is no other sadhana but to chant the holy name. It is the essence of all Vedic mantras and the purport of all the shastra. This is a beautiful verse in terms of glorifying the holy name directly from the Kali Yuga Patita Pavan Avatar, Prem Purushottam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nam Vinu Kali Kale. Nahi aradharam, sarva mantra sara nam e shastra maram. It's a conclusion, the essence of maram, of all the shastras. Sarva mantra sara is the essence of all different mantras and all the shastras. It's the nam, do the nam. I remember I used to go and meet some advanced devotees and ask them various questions, intricate questions about different tattvas. And they would always, the first thing they would do when I asked my question, they would smile and laugh. And they would reply, oftentimes they reply, he said, "You are a baby in diapers." This was because they knew English. They say, "You're a baby in diapers," if you know what they are. "And you're asking all these questions." And he would answer the questions usually. Most of the time. But he would always emphasize, his usual answer was, "Do namam, do namam, do namam." Chant the name. Nam karo, nam karo. Of course he spoke English, but he would say, "Nam karo, nam karo. Do the name, do the name, do the name." Nam destroys sins. This is from Kali Santarana Upanishad, text 2 through 7. This is very appropriate dialogue, because these great Mahabhagavats and great Mahajans, like Narada Muni, they have that quality that we hear about and read about, Trikalagya. Trikalagya means they know the three phases of Kal, of time, past, present, and future. So in the beginning of Kali Yuga, Narada Muni met with his father. What's his father's name? Brahma. And he asked him, "How will the people of Australia and America and Russia and Delhi and Bombay, the fallen people of Kali Yuga, how will they be delivered?" And Brahma replied, "Just chant Hare Krishna. What is the difficulty?" That's what Srila Prabhupada would often say. But what did he say? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Iti sudashakam namnam, Kali kalmasha nashanam, Natak prataropaya saravedeshu drishyate. Sodashakam means these namnam, these 16 syllables, these 16 words. Kali kalmash nashanam, same as Hindi. Kalmash means dirty times. Kalmash, dirt, kalmash. Kali kalmasha nashanam, it will nash, destroy. Bhakti vignan vinashana, it will destroy all the dirt and the sins of Kali. Sarva vedeshu drishyate. And if you drishyate, if you look through all the Vedas, you won't find anything better than this. The 16 names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra destroy all the sins and inauspiciousness of the age of Kali. This is the conclusion, the Paratopaya. This is the conclusion of all the Vedas. The Maha Mantra of 16 names is a destroyer. This is further, this text that we quoted, this is text 2 and 3 in Sanskrit. But the other verses, 4 through 7, I'm giving the translation now. The Maha Mantra, only the English, I'm not giving the Sanskrit. The Maha Mantra of 16 names is the destroyer of the material covering of the Jivatma, which is composed of 16 constituents. That's very interesting. That's like our Jagannath Swami in Purushottam Kshetra. Being Purushottam month, it's very nice to glorify Purushottam Jagannath, Brajendra Nandan, Shamsundar, Sri Krishna. So he comes out every year, usually, to ride on his Rath cart. And when he rides on his Rath cart, his cart has 16 wheels. And Balaram's cart has 14, although he's the elder brother. He's a big brother, he has a smaller sports car. His sports car is not so fast. There's only 14 wheels. Then his little sister, she has a small hot rod. Her hot rod is very small. She only has 12 wheels. And there's all kinds of symbology. But the symbology is that Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, he has 16 kalas, 16 energies, 8 antaranga shaktis and 8 bahiranga shaktis. So these shaktis are all devis, Gita Shakti, Shristi Shakti, Vidya Shakti, Leela Shakti. There's different names for these shaktis. So these are the spiritual energies. So it's a very interesting point how the jiva, he's covered by 16 constituents. So the Maha Mantra has 16 names, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. So that has 16 names, and each one of these names knocks off one of the 16 constituents. As like you have, you go in these parks, and they have little metal ducks, and they go in these fun parks, what do they call them? I forget. Circus. I guess like circus, sometimes it's a circus. They have different things, and you have this little air gun or something, and it can shoot, and then it knocks the little duck down.
Like
a carnival. Like a carnival, I was meant to say. Carnival. They call it carnival. And then they have all these rides and skill, tests of skill and whatnot. And if you knock the little ducks off with the air gun, then you get a stuffed animal or some kind of gift. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, it's Hare Krishna, pum, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare, pum, Asha, Krishna, tum, Hare, pum, Hare Krishna, tum. So you get 16 shots. In this carnival, you get 16 shots. The holy name has 16 words. And each shot will knock off one of these coverings of the jiva, the kosha, the coverings. So what are those 16 coverings? One is the panch gyanindriya and the panch karmindriya. The 5 knowledge gathering senses. The 5 working senses. The panch pran. What is the panch pran? It's not the panch pandavas. Panch pran means the 5 airs. Udan, apan, apan, udan, saman. That's panch pran. And then, that's how many is that? That's 15, right? Then the one subtle body, which is linga sharir. I believe linga sharir is a subtle body, and the gross body is called stula, or stula sharir. So the subtle body, mind, intelligence, and false ego, material mind, material intelligence, material false ego, or material ego, which is false, ahankar, they're all destroyed. These are the 16 material coverings of the jiva. When the gross and subtle material coverings of the jivatma are destroyed by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the Supreme Lord Krishna will appear before the jiva like the shining rays of the sun when the cloud is removed. So this means, of course, we've all experienced a cloudy day, and maybe all morning is cloudy and all afternoon, and somehow the sun gets some energy, and by the late afternoon he comes out, peekaboo, peekaboo, here I am. And the sun shines with his beautiful face on our face, and we see him face to face, and we experience his full radiance, and the full orb of the sun is before our eyes. So this is the analogy Brahma is giving to Narad, that when these 16 coverings are removed, then Krishna will appear. But this is interesting. The 16 words, the transcendental words of the Maha Mantra, remove the 16 coverings of the jiva. And when the 16 coverings of the jiva are removed, then Krishna will appear before us with the 16 shaktis. So 16 into 16 is 16. Because Krishna is always with the shaktis. Prasya shaktir vivadaya shriyate. You can't separate the shakti from the shaktiman. They're always existing together. So I'll stop there today. There's a few more verses. Maybe 3 more verses we'll finish tomorrow. Is there any questions or comments? Yes.
Ajay, you mentioned that in Bhavabhakti there's no sadhana. And you said in this material body we
Excuse me?
You said in Bhavabhakti
It's not called sadhana anymore. It's not practice. It's sarup siddha. Yes. It's called sarup siddha bhakti.
And then you mentioned that this sharir which we have, this material body we have, is for sadhana. So can you please tell me, Maharaj, that
what I'm saying is, in the material body, you cannot directly please Krishna.
Which means you cannot do any bhava bhakti.
No.
Body.
No. Because what happens when we come to level bhava bhakti, we're awarded the proper deha by which we can actually directly do sakshat seva to Krishna. Of course, it's going on in meditation. It's a lila pravesh, and it's called a spiritualized body. Prabhupada used the term. The material body becomes spiritualized, which means our mind and our senses, it's internal. The internal senses are the spiritual senses. And we get the siddhadeya. So then in meditation, in that siddhadeya, which we'll be given and awarded, we'll enter the lila and do seva in that siddhadeya, not in this. Well, in that siddhadeya, that meditative body, we'll do manasi seva with our spiritual eyes or spiritual senses. There's nothing going on here. My eyes are closed. My hands are not moving. None of my senses are acting. But this material body is still here. But the level of bhava bhakti, I will serve the Lord in my siddhadeya, in meditation. It's called manasi seva. The sadhaka deya is there. The sadhaka deya is there almost like the launch pad for the rocket ship. The launch pad is necessary. They call launch pad, and then the rocket's there. And they 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, holding, 5, 5, 5, 4, 4, 3, doom, and so then the rocket is on its own. It's for itself. It has its own power, fuel, everything, and driver, whatever. But to get off that takeoff, it required the launch pad. So the body at the level of bhava bhakti becomes a launch pad. And then maybe the rocket ship comes back or whatever. It is just an analogy I made up. But we're in this body, but we're launching off of this body and then meditating on our siddhadeya. And then what happens is that finally we launch off and we don't come back. You know, we go in space and then we enter the outer space, become a spaceman, transcendental spaceman, and we land in Boma Vrindavan in the womb of a gopi and take our birth there. And that's also called siddhadeya. There's some debate. Some people say that's Surup City, some people say that's Vastu City, or it's Surup City which becomes Vastu City. There's different ways to explain it. But it's Swarup City, unencumbered by any material body. That Gopi Deha is transcendental.
At the end you said that after we perfect or something, we chant in the holy name, and Krishna appears with all the 16 Shaktis. How is that? What is that?
It says the Supreme Lord, Lord Brahma, is telling Narad. The question is, how has this happened? Supreme Lord Krishna will appear before the jiva like the shining rays of the sun when the cloud is removed. When the cloud is removed, then you see the sun. You see the orbit, orb of the sun, orb, O-R-B, which means the sun planet with a definitive circumference. You see the sun planet. Then you also perceive the sunlight. You see the light of the sun which is pervading everywhere through the sky. And you also feel the heat. So in the same way, Krishna has his orb, he has his persona, his rupam, his divya rupam, transcendental form, but he's surrounded by and pervaded with all of his energies. Whether you're seeing them individually with their personified forms, ila shakti and lila shakti and gira shakti, they're all vidya shakti, they're all personified. They have forms, they're persons, they're all female. Shaktis are all female. So you can see, if he chooses to give you darshan of his form, which you'll see, and you may see all the forms of those energies, or you'll see all the energies, which means all those energies may become accessible to you also. You may get knowledge, you may enter lila, gear, speech. Gear is speech shakti, vidya is knowledge shakti, lila is pastime potency. All these described in one purport, 11th canto, the names of the 11 shaktis are mentioned, 16 shaktis. And also in Sanat Kamara Samhita, it's described. One is called Akarshani, Karshani, Akarshani, and I can't remember all 16 right now.
Arhat, doesn't have anything to like represented by this eight devotees and eight
mandalas. I haven't read anything like that. Because that eight figure, because every sakhi has all the asha sakhis have their eight mandaris. So then it's not just one grouping of eight. Vishakha has her eight mandaris, Lalita has her eight mandaris. It's so much eight and eight and eight. It's not a fixed number of only eight. Mm-hmm. And there's eight major sakhis, including Chandravali, Shaivya, Padma, Lalita, Radharani, etc. They're like topmost sakhis of Vrindavan. Then of those eight sakhis, and there's Radharani has her eight ashta sakhis, Lalita, Vishakha, Chitra. And each of those sakhis has eight mandaris. So there's groupings of eight. But then there's also something called mandaris and upamandaris. So there's eight mandaris, they're called Ashtamukhya mandri, and there's also Ashta upamandri. So then it's not eight and eight, it becomes eight and 16. There's one Sakhi, Vishakha Sakhi, and she has 16 mandaris. So 16 and 8 are, anyway, it's like this.